is the connection between the three people, okay? I want you to see. Just can we flick through all three people? I need those and those. Do you know who that is? That's Brother Andrew. We'll tell you about him in a minute. The next one, you know who that is? Yes, it is. Duncan Campbell, Peggy and Christine Smith. We look to the next one. Do you know who that is? That's Caden. Right. So we go back to the first one, please. And it's just having a quick look at what is the connection between all these three people. Brother Andrew, in 1955, when he'd just recently become a Christian, decided that he needed to take Bibles into Eastern Europe. And that was the start of Open Doors that now still goes into 70 countries worldwide, supporting persecuted Christians. So it's out of a simple thing that this man wanted to do. Give Bibles is now a worldwide organisation. And the next one, we all know, I think, about Duncan Campbell, Peggy and Christine Smith. They started the prayer. The ladies wanted to pray. One was blind. One was blind. Very, very old ladies. They just took it together. Get together and pray, which brought in the Welsh revival. They gave something they wanted to do. I just want to pray. Next one. Caden, be surprised now, because it's all Welsh revival? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Hebrides. I've written it down. Hebrides revival. I've written it down and then read something that's totally not on my paper. The Hebrides revival. So something they wanted to do. Something they gave. Made a worldwide thing. This is Caden last week in Bournemouth. Yep, he's seen it. Totally soaking wet. Really, really windy day. His granddad said, giving him money to buy ice cream. That was what is on his heart today. Buy some ice cream. So he did. But that little act, I know it's not like a godly act as such, but the little act of doing what was on his heart. Yes, I know it's an ice cream. Like that. It brought pleasure to people round. People sat round, they smiled, they giggled. One guy went past and said to his wife, I'm going to buy an ice cream. She said, no, you're not, it's raining. And he looked at Caden and we were eating an ice cream and said, if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. Yeah? So these little acts that are in our heart that we do, they bring pleasure and joy to other people and freedom to other people. Thank you, Corrie. That cute picture has to go away now. Yeah. Can I have some lights here, please? Thank you. We've been reading. If you guys have been reading your... Thank you. Your daily readings. You should have been reading through Exodus 35, 4 to 35 this time. Which feel free to open your Bibles and have a look. And in there, we're reading about the Israelites still wandering around the desert, still doing what they're doing, wandering around. But we're meeting, we're particularly reading the bit about where Moses has gone up to Mount Sinai. And I actually read something else that I found out that he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights with God. How cool is that? Would be just alone with God for 40 days, 40 nights. Nothing else happening. That would be an amazing place to be. But Moses has been at Mount Sinai and he's just coming back down and he's been given the instructions to build the sanctuary and he's been given the instructions for the Ten Commandments. And we're joining Moses in Exodus 35, 4 to 9. And he's telling the Israelites what he wants them to be bringing. He's telling them what God's told him to do. And he's asking them to bring contributions like gold and silver and bronze, blue and purple, scarlet yarns and fine linen, goat's hair, ram's skin dyed red, other types of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for lights, spices for anointing oils, fragrances for incense, oxen stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and the breastpiece. Now in verse 5, Moses is saying to them, whoever is of a willing heart to bring it. And then throughout the readings, we'll see how the Israelites responded. In verse 21, they said, we read about everyone whose heart stirred them and everyone whose spirit moved them came and brought the Lord's contribution. Verse 22, men and women whose heart moved them brought brooches and earrings, signet rings and bracelets and articles of gold. Verse 26, all the women whose heart stirred them spun goat's hair. And verse 29, the Israelites' men and women's hearts were being moved to bring materials. Now Moses didn't order them. He asked them just as God told them. He said, if you've got a willing heart, bring it willingly. And the people responded. They didn't respond out of fear. They just responded out of love to come and build things for the tabernacle. Now we know, like the Old Testament, the tabernacle is a big physical tent where God came down with cloud. Like that. But nowadays it's us. It's what he wants to build in our heart, in our body and everything. And like with the Israelites, they gave with willing hearts. We have to give with willing hearts nowadays so that we build up our own tabernacle. We build up that special place that's inside us for God to come and live. So we'll give our time to be with him, get to know him better and build our dwelling places with him. We give our voice in worship and praise and prayer and speaking God's word. We give our eyes and ask him to open them to look for opportunities and share and encourage other people. We give our ears and our heart. We listen to Holy Spirit's leading. We give our hands in prayer for each other and in service and giving for one another. But I said in verse 22, the Israelites gave all these amazing treasures. They gave the brooches, the earrings, the signet rings and everything. These would have been valuable treasures to them, but they would have had to be melted down so that they could be remade into what needed for the tabernacle and everything. It's like Mary's rings. Those are really old rings. It's things as precious as that, that you're being asked to give, the Israelites being asked to give, you know, give up so that we can melt them down. That's a precious thing to give away. And I don't know whether they would have thought, well, I won't I, or whether they just thought, no, this is what God's asking me. This is what I'm going to do. So, and that reminds me, because you've got to give areas of your life, reminds me of areas of our life that we have to offer God. But sometimes they're so precious that we hold on to them. So it's like, would you be willing to pass those rings on to be melted down? Or do you think, no, I need to hold them forever. I need to keep on to them forever. But if you don't give them up, sometimes they'll become a stumbling block for, you know, what God actually wants to do in your life, what he's already planted, what he wants to bring out for you. If you don't do that initial thing, it will come, but it will take longer maybe. I know I'll tell you a story about a long time ago when I was really a lot quieter than I used to be now. Ooh, long time ago. And I didn't like to speak in groups. Yeah, a little while ago. I didn't like to speak in groups, but I really wanted to pray for people. And I went on to a first aid course, and it was a 2-week first aid course, 2 days. And the first aid instructor told us about his son who's only 6 years old, had severe eczema. And he had to bandage him regularly, was that sore. He had to cream him up regularly. The child couldn't go and play as he wanted to play. And it poured on my heart that I wanted to pray for this young man. But I didn't quite know how to actually step out and go do that. So I thought, oh, I'll do it at the end of the first aid lesson. That's fine. At the end of the first aid course, I'll do it then. I didn't. I picked up my bags. I walked out and I went home. And I felt terrible. Absolutely terrible, because I knew that I needed to pray. But I know now I don't have to feel that terrible, because God thinks exactly the same about me, whether I did pray or whether I didn't pray. But during that week, I got together with God and we wrote, a small card, and it had the prayer on it that I wanted to say for the child. And then I put a little motorbike, I put it all in a bag, and I got it ready with my stuff for the first aid course next week. Went to the first aid course, feeling quite bold, text people for some backup prayer just in case, and got there, thought, I'll pray in the first coffee break or whatever, I'll go pray for that guy. Nope. Got to lunchtime. Okay, I'll pray at lunchtime. Nope. Pray in the afternoon coffee. No, didn't do that. It got to the last point everybody had gone home. There was myself, the instructor, and the lady that was supervising the course in this room. And I thought, if I don't go and pray now, I'm never going to get this other opportunity to do it. I have to do it. I just walked up to the guy and said, I most probably said that. But I said something like, you know, I feel, you know, I'm a Christian. I know a God that can heal. And I'd like to offer prayer for your son. And he looked at me and said, brilliant. I'm a Christian too. Yes, please. And it's like, so that was, you know, God had gone ahead. He'd sorted that all out. So I didn't need to have spent that whole couple of weeks, but I did. But during that time, that was almost like the shyness. That was the start of me starting to give up my shyness. So it's something that I'm holding. To me, that shyness, I didn't realize at the time, it's something I'm used to. It's a comfort that I had, but it needed to go. I needed, like the Israelites were offering their gold, but I had to give that part of the shyness of my life, you know, start taking that away. That was something that I gave to God so that he could start remolding into a little bit of what you see now. You like it? Good. Thank you. Oh. Yep, a few years ago, you wouldn't have seen me standing up here and talking to you. So that was like one of the first steps. Because although I was happy with my shyness, God was not happy. He didn't ever speak that over my life. He's always spoke freedom over my life. No. Doesn't matter about my earthly past, what people and you guys, your earthly presence, what people have spoken over you, he's not speaking that over you. He's speaking what he speaks now over your life. He sees what he sees in the future over your life, and that is the truth that you need to grasp hold of. Yeah, God's always, maybe from birth, most probably before birth, has planted desires and skills and gifts on all of our hearts. He just wants to set Holy Spirit's fire on it, setting a light so that you can be blessed, and he can bless others through you. Now we're in verse 30 to 35 now, still in Exodus. And we're looking at Bezalel and Oholibah, possibly. Bezalel. Oholiab. Yep. And he's saying in verse 30, 35, says, God's already filled them with skills and performed them with different types of craftsmanship. They're engravers, designers, embroiderers, and weavers. The Bezalel had come from the tribe of Judah, which is the largest tribe. Oholibab had come from the tribe of Dan, one of the smallest tribes. God's not looking where you're coming from, what your status here on earth is. He's looking at you, and just you, just knows you. He sees you the same as the kings and the queens here on earth. Yeah, Florine, yes. Yeah. He sees you the same. He doesn't see any difference in you. He's planted what he's planted in you is what he's planted in you. You can't stop that. Don't try to do it. So I think as part of our prayer life, we need to be asking, what have you already placed in me, God? What have you already gifted me with? Am I holding on to something that I need to freely give you to step into what you've placed in me, like the shyness with me? What are the gifts you've already placed in me? And there's loads of gifts in the Bible, and we'll just read some from Romans 12, 4 to 8 at the moment. I'm reading in the Passion Version. That's the only Bible I could find when I wanted the reference. It says, in a human body, there are many parts and organs, each with unique function. So it is with the body of Christ. For though we are many, we've been mingled into one body in Christ. This means that we're all virtually joined to one another, with each contributing to the other. God's marvelous grace imparts to each one of us varying gifts and ministries that are uniquely ours. So if God's given you a gift, grace of prophecy, you must activate your gift by using the portion of faith you have to prophesy. If he's given you a gift, grace, a of serving, then thrive in serving others well. If you've got a gift, grace of teaching, then be actively teaching and training others. If your gift, grace is encouragement, then use it often to encourage others. If you've got a grace gift of giving to meet the needs of others, then you prosper in your generosity without any fanfare. If you've got a gift of leadership, be passionate about your leadership. If you've got a gift of showing compassion, then flourish in your cheerful display of compassion. And some people, most probably sitting there thinking, yeah, I know what my gifts are. That's really good. I've got my gifts. But you might have some more that you don't know about. The others are excited to find out what their gifts are going to be. And I hear a few of us sitting there maybe going, gifts? What gifts? I haven't got any gifts. What's she talking about up there? What does she know? But Paul in verse 6 says, God's marvelous grace imparts to each one of us varying gifts and ministries that are uniquely ours. NIV version says, you've been given different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. Expanded version, we have different gifts, each of which come from the grace God gave us. These are all past tense. So they're in you, whether you know what it is yet or not. You have been given gifts from God to bless others and to bless yourself. So if you're believing that you don't have any gifts, that's just a lie from the enemy. Stamp on it. And if that is anyone here, and I encourage you to read through Romans 12, 4 to 8, look at different versions and ask God to highlight what your gifts are. It's a piece of gold, this gift, that's already inside you. It's already been placed inside you. It's not small. It's not insignificant. It's massive and it's ready to shine once you start using it. It's not overpowering or overwhelming. It's a gift that God's given us all so that we can give it away to bless others and help them grow. But it still stays and grows in us at the same time. And that's crazy. Like Sabina was saying about presents sitting under the trees. That once we've given our present away to our neighbour, to our friend, to our family member, they open it, they take it away and they use it. It doesn't necessarily benefit us. But the gifts that God's given us, we can give them away. We can give away our serving, we can give away our prophecy, we give away all the list of things. But we still get the benefits of that at the same time. We still learn and grow and develop and hold on to the bits of it as well as sharing it with everyone else. We don't give it away and lose it and never see it again. That's God. Go. Thank you. Now, I think for me, one of the gifts that I've grown in is encouragement. So when I write the e-news, I pray over each week. Please read the e-news. I pray that it just encourages you all in your walk with God, that you get closer and closer to him all the time. And when I see people in need, I can't always give material things, but my heart goes out to speak hope and pray into their situation. So when a neighbour of mine was in hospital a while ago and his family told me that he only had weeks to live, my heart went out to him. My heart went out to our family. I couldn't say, oh dear, I'm really sad, just go home and do nothing about it. I had to make sure, and I think a lot of you will know this story, but I had to make sure that guy had the opportunity to know Jesus before he died, because I don't think he did. So God encouraged me to write a letter to him explaining who Jesus was, explaining how he could take him into his life before he died, basically. And I wrote the letter and I had to take it around to his family, read it to his wife, and his wife in turn read it to him, and the older children would have heard that, and it's been buried with him. But through that letter, that was encouragement to his family that, you know, there is something else after life. You're not going to just die and go nowhere. This is your opportunity to say yes to Jesus and bring him into your heart and spend eternity with him. But that's my way. That's what I did. I did the letter writing. Again, as I wrote when I did first... Oh, ignore that. Yep, I did the letter writing. But if some of you guys were doing it, St. Anne or Barbara or Val was encouraged to do that sort of thing, you might not have wrote a letter. You would have done it your own way, because we all got different ways, unique ways of doing things. For me, a lot of it for me is writing. I find that it's a passion for writing that I never, ever had. When I first come to God and everything, I hated writing. I hated reading. I was like, there's no way I wanted to do this. But through the Ignite course, it doesn't run anymore, but the Ignite course, you had to write essays. Not essays, book reviews. And that was a real fear for me when I started the course. I did the course a few years ago. And my fear when starting the course was that you had to write a book review. It only had to be a page long. But through that journey of the course, God ignited that gift inside me. The gift of writing is, I'm so grateful for that, because that I express myself better through writing, I believe, than through words half the time. Still words. If you guys were doing it, you would do it your own way. Yeah, I also keep daily diaries as well, because that's an encouragement for myself. It's when the enemy's saying, no, you can't do this. This is not right. You know, what do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You can look back and say, no, actually, God says I'm this. This point happened. I did this. God speaks this over my life. And you can shut the enemy up with the words that you've written and read over yourself. I'm talking. I forget where I am. Yeah, all of these things are to bring God's presence here on earth and to help build the whole church up and let us grow together. What we do affects each other. When we tell our testimonies, it encourages each other. How we live our lives affects each other. So my brother jogs, and he really wants to run the London Marathon. He can't wake up one day, go run the London Marathon. He's got to train and, you know, train daily and do bits and pieces. And it's the same with us, with the giftings that we have, whatever they are, whether prophecy serving, teaching, courage in giving, leading, showing compassion. That's just from the list that I read earlier. There's loads more gifts and promises in the Bible that are ours to claim and that God's already put in us. But we've got to train in them. We have to use them. It's no good, like the presents unwrapped. It's no good leaving them alone. You've got to use them and activate them to make them work. You get bolder when you do as well. So as God shows you your giftings, use it and ask God to recognize when you're using it. And I think if you see other people using giftings, then just encourage them in it. Say, hey, well done. Good chat. Whatever. See what you see them doing. So even though I said everyone's going to do it in their own unique way, you're not all going to be writers giving everybody out thing. You're going to reach out to people in your own way. Once you're discovering what your gift is, actually, if you don't know how to use it, you're not sure, just go and copy someone. It's perfectly all right to do a little bit of copying to first, because you're going to practice what you're doing. So when I wanted to read the Bible more and know about the Bible, other than reading it, I stuck myself with people that knew about the Bible and were speaking God's word out. And when I wanted to be able to pray, when I knew I needed to pray more, I went along to Florence's prayer group, because they encouraged me to pray more. and it gets you back. When I first started Maidenhead Church, I used to go there, you know. Yeah, they encouraged me to go on the tea and coffee. It helps me. It helps you to move along in your serving, to speak to people, to do people. to be with people. Yeah, so put yourselves in positions with others to guide you. Now that. And then you'll find your own way of growing in those gifts. It doesn't matter if you copy it first, because it helps you to just step out and find your own way into there. So together we're working as a whole church, creating a bigger picture of God. It's like a little, like a puzzle. We're all parts of the puzzle. And unless we're all doing our own bit, the picture isn't complete. So we can't afford, you can't afford to think that you're not able to do what God has put on your heart to do. You can't afford to dismiss the thoughts that come into your head if God's prompting you to do something. You can't afford to be afraid or to think someone else will do it better, because he's told you, you can do it. So you're the person that can do it. God's put whatever it is on your heart for that time, for that moment, for that person or people. He knows the passions and the gifts that he's already placed inside you, and he wants to pull them out of you for that moment. He most probably knows that whatever it is you're going to do is going to bless that other person there and then at that time. He knows everything. He sees the little bits that we can't see. And he knows what's going on in our hearts and the other people's hearts at the time. So if God's prompting you to do something, remember the words of the song, be bold, be strong, the Lord your God is with you. And just get on and do it. See, I don't want to go to heaven and find out that I've been a missing part of that puzzle in someone's life. I don't want to. You know, I want to know that I've done everything I can do here on earth without striving, without panicking, just through the love and growth of knowing God. I want to know that I've done everything I can do here on earth for God, to bring his glory, to build people up, and to help other people get closer to God. Yeah. That doesn't always happen. That's really hard if you think about it too much. That's okay. God loves you anyway. If you mess it up, say sorry. Get on with what you're doing. Move along with your day. Don't ponder on, I didn't. Ponder on what you can. Okay, then give me another opportunity, Lord. Tell me again and just get on with it. Get over it, as someone told me once. Thank you for the encouragement, yeah. So it's part of our responsibility as Christians to use the gifts that God has built up. God has given us to build up and encourage others around us, but also to grow and mature in our own gifts. So we are one body working together to show God's love. We can't be expected to do it on our own, because we'd be exhausted. Jesus had his disciples with him, and we've got each other and God. I do remember reading this verse I'm going to read in a while back, and I had to stop and reread it again, because I realized that I was one of the people that Paul was talking about now. I was no longer an infant in certain areas of my walk with God. And that's got a lot to do with you guys and your encouragement in bringing out the gifts and the gold that's inside of me. Because you could have left me, that quiet person sitting at the back, and just said, hi, how you doing, Dorothy? You all right? And left me at that, but you didn't. You saw what God had planted in me, and you spoke into my life, and you brought stuff out in me, just changed me for the better. And hopefully I'm helping to change other people for the better. So you guys are amazing at encouraging people. Thank you. But from this verse, from Ephesians 4:14-16, this is when I realised that actually it's my turn to also be encouraging and doing working with others. It says, they will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect of mature body of him who is head, that is Christ, From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So we've all got a big part to play. We've all got something to do, whether we think we can do it or not do it. We've all got something to do. So it's good. We're going back. It's talking about like recognizing your own gifts. And if you don't know, if you're not sure, when you're looking at your gifts and you say, oh, I'm not sure if I've got any, I don't know what they are, that you can also, you can go ask other people and they know what they are. Other people can see things in you that we can't see. That's even easier to do. But also, you can have to remember it. Also, if you can't see that, look around you and think, look and see, what do I really love doing? What do I really, really have fun doing? What can I do? You know, this is a gift that's inside you. What do I love doing? When I was at Maidenhead, I used to watch Richard and Jean do the painting. And I thought, oh, I'd love to do that. That's so cool. That's really, yeah, you most probably have to go on a course. Yeah, no, I don't think I can. I spent weeks watching these people thinking you have to train, you have to do this. And eventually it was in me so, so deep that I really wanted to. I text Richard and said, can I paint on Sunday? I've not painted. He doesn't know if I can paint. He doesn't know my painting skills. I haven't been painting on a big canvas. I've never painted in front of anybody. And he said, yeah, of course you can. I'll bring the stuff on Sunday. So I stood there Sunday morning and just got up and painted these things of three swans. And if I look back, I think, oh my gosh, three swans. But it was in me so much and God wanted to draw it out so much. All I could do is, I have to do this. I have to do this. And there'll be things inside you that you have to do. You can't not do. That's your gift, your gold inside you that's waiting there to explode and shine on the world. Well, that's, go for it. But also, if there's nothing that you're thinking, oh, what can I? You might look around and go, oh, that's so irritating. I wish they wouldn't do it like that. I want to do that better. I can do it better. Yeah, that's another gift. That might be a gift hiding inside you. The one that's irritating you so much and you think, yeah, I'm going to do that. Get on and do it. Yep. But it could just be a very simple thing. Like, I know the ice cream is not biblical, but like the ice cream, something that you just stand and need to do that people are going to look at and go, wow, I like that. I want to do that too. Let's move on. Do some more. There's stuff inside each and every one of us. We are all on different parts of our journey, and that's fine. So we've all, but each and every one has got the gift inside us. We might not know it yet. God might have already told you, and you're sitting there going, yeah, I don't think so. And that, it is. If he's told you, that's what it is. Because believe it or not, God knows better than we know. Well, maybe you've realised what it is this morning. You're thinking, oh, yeah, that's really irritating me. I need to do something about that. Yeah. So can I just encourage you all to be sensitive to Holy Spirit when you're praying, when you're walking around the day, your day. Ask him if there's anything that you need to give up, like the stubbornness and the shyness, maybe. Stick stubbornness in there. Maybe you need to say something. Well, can I give up now? Is there something I need to give up so that, God, you can start bringing out that gold that you've planted inside me already? And encourage everybody else when you see them working in something. Just encourage them so that actually we can be that bigger light, that great light here on Britwell to spread to all our neighbours around here. So I just thank you, Jesus. And I just pray for each and every one of us here that we will be encouraged to find that gift that's inside us. And we thank you, Lord, for placing something in each and every one of us. And just help us as a community to bring it out of each other, to encourage each other and to move along and be the people that you see us being, be the lights that you see us being, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.